All right. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today we have another special guest, someone I've worked with, you know, for quite a few months now in terms of helping you with your fitness business. We have Dorota Soto. Am I saying that correctly? She is an online fitness and nutrition coach working with high performing women to be happier, healthier, and fitter. Dorota, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. I'm really excited to jump in. For those that don't know you or maybe your backstory, could you just give us kind of that, what got you into fitness, let's say, not necessarily the coaching side, but just you in general in the beginning?
So that's actually a funny story because I was never an athletic person and I would consider myself a late bloomer when it comes to fitness. I'm originally from Poland, and when I was growing up in Poland, maybe in the beginning, when I was 10 or 11, I played a little bit of tennis and swam, going to the swimming pool with my family, but overall, not very into physical activity. And even when I was, I think in a high school, I used to even skip PE classes because I never was, again, a big fan of it. I'd rather hang out with my friends at that point than actually do something very active. And I've tried to go to the gym here and there, but it was very short-lived. I would buy a membership for 1 month because I just wanted to look better and go every single day, and I stopped for, you know, who knows how many months and then try it again. So nothing very consistent, not a big fan of it, let's put it that way. And then in 2009, I moved to New York City and I gained a lot of weight. I got married pretty much right away when I moved to New York City, and to someone who was even more into the partying than I was. So it was a lot of drinking, eating out, and I even didn't know how to cook at that point. So my breakfast every single day consisted of donuts, and nothing wrong against donuts, but I was eating donuts and sugary coffee drinks from Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, every single day. So, and I was working in the restaurant business, which definitely wasn't very health inducing as well. So I gained a whole bunch of weight, and I will say that my official beginning of my fitness started in 2012 when I was like, okay, I have to do something about it. It's not a good way of living. And I was very frustrated with my job at that time and with my lifestyle. And how it really started, I just decided I'm going to start running. And I was living in Queens at that point, and I had a huge park close my house. And I was like, the only thing I want to do is to just run out and in. Like, it doesn't matter how far I'm going to be running. I just want to leave my house, and I don't want to stop running until I go back home. So I don't know. Maybe I start with half a mile. Maybe I ran a mile. I have no idea how much was it. But the next day, I would just run a little bit further away and a little bit further away. And that's how I really got into running. And then I eventually bought a set of dumbbells, and I was doing some exercise videos in my apartment. And that's how I started, in a nutshell.
That's interesting. Yeah. How old were you when you moved to New York City?
I was 22. Okay. So I moved right out of college. I came here.
Okay. So yeah, that's definitely a later bloomer for most fitness journeys, which is, you know, not a bad thing. I think anytime you pick fitness up is always going to be beneficial. What, how was the change? Like, so when you started running, was your husband helping you? Was he just like, why are you doing that? Were you guys doing the party scene still? What happened there?
He wasn't really into fitness at all. And there was still partying going on. It wasn't that like, okay, now I'm stopping everything. So that was definitely, it was in the same time I was really trying, and I was trying to cook a little bit more and pick up a little bit healthier food. But at this point, we definitely were going into different directions. Hence, he's my ex-husband right now. And I was just like, I really want to just live healthy life. And I got to start getting a little bit more addicting to like this rush after the run and after workout. So I was very, we definitely crushed here. Not that he was like against of it, but it was not something that he picked up as a passion as me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that speaks to, you know, you had a lifestyle that you wanted to create, a healthier one that you saw for yourself. And I remember reading your post on social media about it. It's like, when you get to that point where you want to make the change, if your partner's not going to make the change with you, or not at least helping you make it, it makes it tough, which is, I think, exactly what you went through.
Yeah. You either need to have that support you don't have to be together in that same journey, obviously, but just having that support, it's, I mean, definitely, it was very like, you know, you're either going to be healthy or you're going to be partying all, your whole life. And I was like, why we cannot just blend it together?
Yeah,
definitely.
What made you pick running to start like the fitness journey?
Because it was easy. I really didn't like, I know how to run. I didn't really have any gym close by my house. There was one gym that I joined, but it was like 20-minute walk. So I paid for the membership and I went maybe like a few times. So it was just convenience more, and I was more comfortable with it because again I knew how to do it.
Instead of picking up weights that you weren't sure really what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What happened over the like, what was the first, let's say, 6 months to a year like for your transformation, for your journey?
So when I was really into, I would say like maybe 6 months after I pick up running, I had that genius idea that because I was really trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. Obviously, I didn't want to work behind the bar for the rest of my life. And I was just like, wow, it would be actually really cool to do that for a living. And so I was just like, oh, maybe I can become a personal trainer. It was literally maybe doing one of my runs. I was like, it would be so cool to, now I have to stay fit for my work. I literally had an idea in my head that will force me to be in the best shape ever. And that's when I decided to become a trainer. So it was, I think it was like six months into my running and doing some exercises into the house that I pick up a course book. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm going to become a trainer and I'm going to do it for a living.
That's amazing. And what happened after that? Did you end up like you got a job and just like you were in the industry?
So after I finished, I got certified, I got a job in a local gym in Queens in New York City. And that was actually at the same time pretty much when I was going through the divorce. So it was kind of like, you know, I was like, okay, now I'm going to build my business as a trainer. As you probably know, in the beginning, it's not that easy as you think. So it was a very stressful time for me. My family is in Poland. They still live in Poland. So I really didn't have any friends and a family here. I didn't have any money because I didn't save any money this whole entire time. So I even thought at one point that I would have to go back to Poland. But I was just like, you know, I'm just going to stay and I'm going to give it a try. And I was just like, that was very motivated to make this whole fitness my career. And I was still working behind the bar when I was working in the mornings at the gym. In the evening, I was working behind the bar. And eventually I actually moved to New York City and I got a job in like a high-end gym where I've been working there pre-pandemic. I was there for like 7 years. And that's what I really build that community and I built my business and met a lot of amazing people. And I kind of like my career kind of went from there.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love success stories like that. I think people think that fitness is easy to make it in the fitness industry. I think because maybe just what they see on social media or because like the really big accounts are super huge when really it's a lot of hours spent working, like a lot of hours spent working. I mean, I remember for me, I got my job in February, I think it was February 2015, and we had our firstborn August 2016. I don't know. I remember just missing a lot of the first like months of his life because I was morning shift. I'd come home between like, you know, 1 and 3 o'clock and nap or spend some time with them and then go back to work for 5 to 10 o'clock and then just it'd be repeat. And then if you're someone who has to juggle a couple of jobs while doing that, like your time is spent. So, I mean, it's really amazing to see how far you've come. And now that like you're building, cause you used to work for the gym and now it's just, you're solo, right?
Yeah.
So to see that it's always inspiring because it does take time. It does take a lot of work and a lot of frustration, but you know, here you are 10 years later and you're here, like you're in the thick of the industry, you're working online, you're getting clients. So it's really awesome to see that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. It's definitely, when I look at this, I was like, oh, sometimes you don't realize how far you've come until you like start speaking out loud about it. I was like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah. We're tough, right? Like I think anyone who has like a growth mindset or anyone who wants like high performers, it's hard to kind of zoom out and look at what you've done because we're always like okay, what am I doing now? Like, what do I want to go? What do I have right now? Like, you and I off camera talked about, you know, the schedules that we have right now. And it's kind of intense, but like, if I look back 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I didn't have anything like this. I didn't even know what this looked like back then. Right. So it's kind of surreal.
Yeah.
And it's important. I think if anyone listening to this too, like whether you're a trainer or not, just zoom out sometimes. If you're losing, if you're trying to lose fat, if you're, you know, doing different things, just zoom out. You know, have you made progress over 6 months, 2 years? Like, are you in the same position? Chances are you're not. Just like Dorota's just completely crushing it right now compared to where she was, for sure.
Definitely difference, yes.
That's awesome. So right now you're working with more high performing women. What is have you always kind of coached women, or you kind of just work with anybody?
I work with anybody, and especially when I was at the gym in the beginning, because I just work with anyone.
Yeah.
Just need to make money, right? Actually, when I was working at the gym, it was very mixed. It was older and younger people, men and women. I think by the end of working at the gym, I think for the last 2 years, my clientele was primary women. So at this point, I will start getting feeling more comfortable with training women at that point, because for 2 years I was only training women, and I had maybe men here and there, but it was just for me. I could connect with them more.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt way more comfortable. And that's kind of like, okay, I'm just going to continue doing that, because definitely felt like a right fit for me.
Yeah. Now, is that something that just happened organically, or like the gym kind of gave you more women clients? How did that work?
So I think it started very organically, but then eventually, because I work in a huge gym. I mean, at one point we had like 60 trainers there.
Wow.
So if they would got, it was, yes.
60?
60 trainers, yeah. And everybody was working full time. So you can imagine the load of people that would come there and like actually train. So at one point they kind of knew what is the style of a trainer, like what type of clients they work with. So like, I feel like it started organically, but then eventually I realized I was working very well with like women between 30 and 50 years old. And they were, you know, it was just kind of that with the clients that were sent to me from people above. So
yeah, that's huge. I'm trying to picture in my head, like we had 5 trainers at ours. I'm like, this is enough. I can't imagine.
Yes, no,
that's crazy.
Huge.
Yeah. When you said huge, that's huge. Well, so when it comes to working with, you know, women, 30 to 50 high performing women, like what are some of the biggest struggles that they have with, you know, getting happier, healthier, fitter, getting in shape?
I feel like the biggest struggle, I would say, or obstacle, I mean, always time, right? You always be like, oh, I don't have enough time. And it's not only even when it comes to women. I feel like that's just in general, people are always like, oh, I don't have time, right? Mm-hmm. Because we, you know, we have work and we have to take care of our family. But what I found with working, especially with women, very often, they put themselves last. Everyone and everything is more important than them. They have to, you know, of course, do their work and then come home and take care of their kids and spouse and clean the house and do all of that stuff. And then they're just like, I'm exhausted. I don't have time for myself. I just want to sit on the couch when the kids are sleeping and do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So I definitely found that this is like the most challenging part, and just kind of shifting from that. Like, if you're not going to change your environment, if you're not going to change how you kind of operate every single day, no one is going to do that for you. So just even shifting from that, okay, I think I deserve to have a little bit of time for myself to take care of me and my health. So that shift, it's always the hardest one. Just to shift like, okay, how can you start prioritizing yourself? So then you can show up again more confidently and to take care of your family and do the work you're doing. So that's definitely the hardest and the biggest obstacle, to just flip that mindset.
Yeah, that's a tough one. How do you help to make that shift? Because it's got to take a lot of coaching, a lot of help with that one.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of, you know, moving parts, and it really depends on that person for sure. But just first starting with being brutally honest that if you're not going to change it, you cannot blame anyone else. You have to be like, it has to come from me.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot expect now that after so many years that my spouse is going to come to me. It's like, you know, Johan, you're just going to sit here and you know, take care of everything else. Now they don't care about you. Obviously they do, but you know, that's have been every single day. Like, why someone else would change that for you? So just getting brutally honest that it has to come from you. And it really, you holding yourself back if you're not going to to do something. And I'm not saying it has to be like very drastic and dramatic change, but just doing small, sit with your family maybe, or maybe just, you know, start speaking about like what really is important for you and start building that awareness. How can you like, how your days look right now and how mm-hmm. you can start making small changes to kind of make a little bit more time for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's tough, and something I think maybe it's not talked about, or maybe it is. I think it's a generational thing that mm-hmm. like I look at I'm not a woman, but I look at like how my mom worked or her mom worked and like the work ethic of like putting themselves behind everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that just kind of gets passed down to a lot of people, mm-hmm. whether consciously or subconsciously. And then it's when you become a mother, in my case, a father, it's like, you want to make sure and be providing for everyone else. It's something like I can mm-hmm. survive. I can survive. I'll be fine. I want to make sure everyone else is good. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to excel kind of in the health space, I'd say, in your own health and fitness, of like finding a balance between, you know, putting yourself first in a way or prioritizing some of mm-hmm. your stuff, but also knowing that you're still taking care of others.
Yeah.
And you said small steps. What are kind of some of the small steps that you help these women with?
So I think the one thing that I really start with pretty much with every new client that will come to me, and that's kind of the obstacles that they struggle with, is to how can we make 5 minutes for you? Just literally starting with 5 minute action. That doesn't matter right now what it has to be. How can you find 5 minutes just for you? And we can talk, we can, you know, figure out how we're going to use that 5 minutes. But right now, literally start with 5 minutes and just build from that. And I feel like some people's like, oh, 5 minutes, what's going to do 5 minutes? I was like, well, let's just find this 5 minutes and then we can figure out how can we make the best out of it. And when you start so small, you kind of set yourself up for success. And then people are like, oh, okay, it's 5 minutes. Like, what is 10 minutes at this point?
Yep.
And kind of like building into that. So it's not a shock for you. And it's also not a shock for people around you. That now it's like, oh, now mom is gone for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Just making the small little steps that, you know, everybody can adjust to it.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I think small changes are always going to be more beneficial for long-term success. I think a lot of the times what people look for is a big sweeping change that is just going to like transform them. And it's the sad, not really sad truth, but the truth is it's never one or two big things. It's a lot of little things that add up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that 5 minutes, like with them, is it 5 minutes, maybe 5 minutes of movement, 5 minutes of like stress management? Like, where do you kind of, is it depending on the person, where do you take them from there?
Yeah, so it really depends on the person for sure, but that would be like something like, what about if we just do 5 minutes of movement or 5 minutes just sitting in a peace, just like in your room by yourself without anyone around, or maybe 5 minutes you do a little bit of prep for your meal. So there's so many different ways we can use really that 5 minutes. So it really depends on the person. But yeah, I feel like a lot of time it really starts like, when can you just sit for 5 minutes? And just breathe and, or, you know, close your eyes and just, you know, just do something that can help you to relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially as a high performer, like I literally had to take like a day yesterday because the month of like March was great. April was busy. May was even busier. June became this month of just overwhelm where I wasn't making time for me. And like, I would get some workouts in and I would get some meal prep in, but in like the grand scheme of things, I needed to sit in peace. So the fact that you said that makes so much sense. But for me, I'm very bad at, you know, not getting distracted by things. Like if I'm in my house right now, I'm in my basement, my gym's behind me. This is my desk. My phone is here. My notebooks are here. So I had to remove myself from my home, go to somewhere where phones are not allowed. And sit with my notebook. And it was like one of the best days I've had in months.
Yeah.
Like I could just sit there in peace and just write out my thoughts and stuff. For me, it wasn't about nutrition or workouts. It was just like, I need to just sit and what is going on in my life right now. And I think a lot of people don't have that either. Not necessarily it's not on purpose. I think that maybe you could speak more to this. Maybe it's just they don't know how to do that, or they feel like they don't plan their days and they're just kind of like, if you've ever had a day where you're just like ping ponging from one thing to another all day long, By the time the day is done, you just, like you said, you don't want to do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I can definitely relate to it myself as well. I definitely became more aware of how can I like build my schedule around like my needs, to making sure that I have time to work out in the morning and meditate. It's a very sacred and important time for me. But then it happens sometimes that I have a lot of clients and everybody wants to work, and I just want to make sure I'm going to fit everyone in. And then I look at my calendar and I'm just like, why would I do that to myself? Because I want to make sure that, you know, I can fit everyone in, and, you know, and then I'm just sitting there. And so I have to be very intentional about that too. And sometimes when this week's very busy weeks happen, then it kind of is a good reminder for me, like, okay, how can I plan a little bit better? And I know it can be a little bit harder, especially for busy women that have also, I don't have kids, so it's a little bit easier for me, but they have kids and busy work schedule. But I think just getting really honest with your schedule too, because there are so many times that we don't think that we waste. And I, you know, it might sound a little bit rush because sometimes, oh, how, what do you know? Like Monday is really busy. And I'm not saying it's not, but if you really start doing something like I do with some of my clients, time journal, and really be honest, again, it's time to be very honest with yourself, how you spend every single 5 minutes within the day, you will see that if you kind of be a little bit more intentional and spend a little bit of a few minutes in the beginning of the week, you could make that schedule work a little bit more for you rather than really against you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you keep using the word intentional, because I think that's that when it needs to be done, whether it's for workouts, whether it's for peace, whether it's journaling, meal planning, like if you don't set the intent, it's likely not going to happen. Right. And you said about your workout time, your meditation time is sacred to you. To me, that's the thing is I think people don't set like a non-negotiable, like this is my time almost no matter what. And I'm a people pleaser too. When I had clients, I remember having to fit, I'll fit you here and there and I'll move my stuff around. But I think once you start doing that, like you said, you take a look at your calendar, you're like, what did I do? Like, where do I fit into this? And you said you don't have kids. I remember it was a few months ago that you had the puppy, right? Like newly brought home. So what was that like in terms of like scheduling and sleep and eating and all that?
Oh, I didn't work out for the first week because he was like, I couldn't, like I was trying to put the puppy in the crate and she didn't want to do it. So she was crying. So I was like, okay, I'm not working out. I'm going to sit with the puppy. So for the first week, I didn't do anything because about the puppy. Yes.
Yeah. But did you make yourself feel guilty about it, or you just kind of accepted it for what it is and moved on?
Oh no, I was feeling very guilty about it too.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the beginning, it was just like, okay, I was struggling with that because for me, that was very new. Again, like I said, I don't have kids, so I never experienced that before. And I was even telling to my husband, like, imagine if I have kids right now, like how would I even like live my life? But in the beginning it was hard, but then I was just like, okay, this is the, not forever. Right. And nice. I think that's another thing. That was just the phase. So after first week, I was just like, okay, for me personally, my fitness is already so ingrained in my routine. And it's so important that I take a 1 week off and I don't have problem going back to it. I actually crave it and I need to go back to it because I'm not even doing this. I mean, I'm doing this for my health, but for my mental health, especially, that's how it really helps me. So for me, it wasn't hard for me to bounce back to it. But for some people, it's not as easy, right? If you're not very consistent with, or you're just trying to stay consistent, but just being honest with it and being like, oh, this is just the phase of my life. And just I always suggest make this agreement with yourself. Like, okay, I need this time to take care of this or this person or this thing. But after the 5 days, I'm getting back. No matter what, I'm going to just freaking get back and go, no matter how hard it's going to feel, because it's going to be hard if you take a break. So just making that agreement with yourself. I'm allowing myself to do 5 days, something what I need to take care of, and then I'm back at it.
That's huge. And I think, and then you make a couple of really good points. When fitness is ingrained in you and it is your lifestyle, it's just another thing that you do as a part of your day, you start to crave it when you don't get it done.
Yeah.
When you're that type of person who's struggling to be consistent with it, taking days off is more of a habit than not. Right. And that's where I think people have a hard time, is like, I can't get consistent. But then if you're constantly putting others before you, or you're not making time for yourself, it's always going to be this thing that the habit for your life is inconsistent fitness. So it's making the agreement, with yourself to prioritize that time, again, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, whatever you can get, make it a part of your day no matter what. The one thing I tell people when they're on vacation, that's when I'm saying, if you want to work out, great. I'm not going to push you to do so. Most of the time what happens on vacations, people are already active anyways. They're not necessarily in the gym, which is fine. But it's that agreement of like, when we get back, we're back at where we left off kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great point. And, and you know, building consistency also take time. So I'd be like, oh, I just did it for 1 week. Like you have to push through that uncomfortable feeling for a while until it's going to become part of your lifestyle. I mean, it took me a long time. It wasn't that, I mean, I was very like determined. I want to get healthier and I want to lose weight. That's how I started. But how many times I was trying to talk myself out of it, but I would still freaking push. I would still put my running shoes and I still go out. And then when you know, the action always comes before the motivation kicks in. So nice. Just knowing that, and you just like, you know, I know it's going to be hard for the first few minutes, but I'm going to do it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I like about the agreements also that I tell to people who are just getting started, give yourself permission that if after 10 minutes of my workouts, I like absolutely want to stop, you can stop. Most likely, if you have time, you might continue because you already start feeling better and you're like in the groove.
Yeah.
But giving yourself that permission that, you know, I can absolutely stop after 10 minutes can be also helpful to kind of, it's like, it's only 10 minutes.
I really like that. I think, like you said, I think the hardest part is getting started. I'm in that exact boat where it's like, I've shifted my workout time so many times to work with what's best for me in my day versus like work, kids, pickups. And it's like this morning, it was like a talk with myself of like, look, man, you only have this amount of time. Just put your friggin' shoes on and start. Once I started, it was it. I got the whole workout done. I felt great. It was fine. But it's like, I think we always have that initial like hump to just get moving. That's the hardest. But I think if the more you can win that battle with yourself, the easier it gets. And then it becomes less of a battle. It becomes more of a habit. That's where consistency comes in. And to speak to your point about consistency and uncomfortableness, I think part of the problem that we as coaches face is people that we're working with that are new. If we don't set the expectations up properly, we have a hard time. The fitness industry is nuts sometimes.
So yeah.
And people's past dieting experiences come into play and what they're reading in magazines. Like, I have a client, she's done amazing in my opinion, but she was like, I feel like it's going so slow. I've only lost 9 pounds in 5 weeks. And I had to say, I'm like, look, that's amazing friggin' progress. Like, it might not stay at that pace forever, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with 9 pounds in 5 weeks. So if you're one of those people who catch yourself, you're starting something new, you need to give yourself, I want to say 12 weeks at minimum. Like just like stick to it no matter what, because I promise you, the longer you stick to it, the better it gets. That's it. You're not going to get a transformation in 4 or 5 weeks, but it's not going to go away after week 8 or 9. It's only going to keep getting better. But it's like you and I have to fight these expectations of what people have tried in the past, or if they've done cutting carbs or whatever other things they've tried. It's like, that didn't work long term. What we're trying to do now is, can they keep you long term?
So why not to try a different way?
This time. Do you find that it happens a lot with women that come to you? It's like they have to reprogram how they expect things to go versus how they're actually going.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like it's with almost everyone like that. Very rarely happens that I will have a new client coming to me and they already have that kind of mindset. That, I mean, not for nothing, I do have some clients that I'm like, okay, I just want to start like slower, small steps. But then when you kind of really start setting up those small habits, it always turns out that they want more. Because they want to have like do something immediately that's going to bring them that instant gratification, so they can see the number on the scale going down or whatever else they're working on. So yeah, definitely. In the beginning, you have to kind of help them reprogram like how the things can really work for them in a good way this time, rather than just going back and forth between different diets and different exercise programs.
Yeah. That's the tough part is making sure that everyone knows that it's like, it's not like you brought up a good point that you struggled. Like, I've been working out since I was 13. So it's almost been 20 years. Wow. Okay. Anyways. So when I was first going to the gym, like my uncle would bring me, I'd always want to do legs because I hated training my upper body because my chest was weak. So I was doing legs. And then I had a personal trainer in high school to help me with like hockey performance. From the age of 20 to 25, probably, I had a really rough time with consistency. I didn't have any coaches. I didn't have anyone helping me. You know, my hockey career was pretty much done. I was just playing like men's league at the time. So I didn't have that like drive as much to be consistent. But from 25 onward, you know, granted, I've missed workouts here and there because it's life, but that's been my most consistent period. So when people, you know, talk to me about my physique or my arms or whatever, it's like, well, what did you do? I'm like, it's time. Mm-hmm. Like it's literally, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen overnight. You know, building muscle yeah. is a long-term process. I don't even train arms much anymore because I don't want to. I did too much of it when I was like 18. But for anyone listening to this, like if you're looking to yeah. transform your body and you want to make like long lasting changes, it's going to take years. And that's normal because you want fitness to be a part of who you are. Like Dorota talked about, it's been 10 years since she jumped in and started running to change her health. For me, it's been nearly 20 since I jumped mm-hmm. in the gym. Like we didn't do this overnight. Not that I'm like putting myself on a pedestal, but it's just,
yeah,
going to take longer than you think, I think is the main theme there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I want to kind of add to it, which is very important, that if you want to lead a fit life or healthy life, whatever that is for you, you have to become that healthy person. Nice. You have to become that fit person, right? Because I feel like everybody can go on a 30-day diet. I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard, but everybody can do it. But if you're not going to change your lifestyle, you're not going to change your mindset, you're not going to change your environment to kind of support it, then after this 30 days, you're going to go back to where you were 30 days ago. So what's the point here?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's, diets are everywhere, supplements are everywhere, trends are everywhere. But the thing is, and I talked about this actually funny on Facebook this morning, it's like, if you're the type of person to constantly look for the shortcut, the fastest way to get somewhere, your fitness journey is going to take you longer. It's going to take mm-hmm. you, like I've been there. I've gotten my credit card scammed from fat loss supplements I bought online back in the day. It didn't help me. It didn't mm-hmm. lead me anywhere. Right. It's literally in that it's boring. It becomes boring, but it's supposed to, right? The exciting part is, and maybe you can speak to this too, is going to your closet and being able to wear anything you want. Mm-hmm. Being stronger than you've ever been, running up and down a flight of stairs, though, you know, losing your breath. For mothers mm-hmm. out there, like picking up your kids without aches and pains, things like that, playing on the floor. Like that's the exciting stuff, but those are the results.
Yeah.
The boring stuff is the work you got to put in. It's not the Instagram workouts or mm-hmm. whatever other stuff we see online. Do you find that that's kind of the case as well?
Absolutely. You have to put the work. And I found, especially in the past, I don't deal with that anymore. But I would have that. I would see like client once a week and they would expect this major, you know, changes in their life. I was like, well, I don't even know what's happening outside this 1 hour that I see you a week. And they kind of put so much pressure in that 1 hour that they see with the trainers and they don't even know what's happening. I don't even know what's happening outside of that. So,
yeah.
And that's where majority of your life happens. So just being consistent with, that's why I actually love doing the online training now, because it's, you kind of give that more accountability than to your right people who you see only in person. And you, mm-hmm. I don't know if you probably can agree to that. I feel like I just having that support and a reminder to just, you know, take an action every single day, it definitely makes a huge difference. And yeah.
That's huge. It's true. I mean, I remember when I was a personal trainer, the gym I worked for, because I'm not going to name any names, but the sessions people bought were 25 minutes, 20 minutes.
Mm.
So I was like, what am I doing with someone for 20 minutes? Like,
yeah,
I can put them through a bit of a workout. It's not going to be the best. And mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, like there's no time to talk about their nutrition, their sleep, their stress management, like all these yeah. other big pillars of health. So it's like, okay, well, if people are brought up, like and most people have had a personal trainer at one point or another, and it's not the trainer's fault, but if they're putting all the emphasis on that 1 hour a week, even mm-hmm. if it's 3 hours a week, to me, 3 hours a week is not going to make or break your journey. It's going to be all of the other hours.
Mm-hmm.
We are surrounded by food all the time, right? You're only working out so much. So it's like, we have to shift your mind into thinking, okay, well, what is a fit and healthy life, as you put it, look like on the whole? Okay. Mm-hmm. Working out is one. Nutrition is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I talk more and more with clients about stress management because, and I'm sure you see it with the women you work with, stress management. Sleep.
Absolutely.
Sleep is something that I think, and I don't know, again, I've been to New York, but I never lived there. I don't know what it's like with people in sleep there. I'm sure it's kind of like people just go, go, go all the time.
Yep.
those things are huge. I think like, and you can tell me, like with people who don't have stress and sleep kind of dialed in, they struggle. They have a much harder time seeing results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I even felt that throughout my journey. In the very beginning, when I got into the fitness, I was very like, okay, fitness. Like I was just like, I'm going to work out. And I started making a little bit healthier choices here and there, but it was more really focused on fitness. Then I added the nutrition and I really became more interested in that. But that was it. It was my fitness and it was nutrition. And my stress, I didn't even worry about it. And I was like a walking stress bomb, pretty much. When I started actually losing weight, I lost so much weight that I had a lot of health issues because I went from like being, because I was working out so many hours a week and under eating at this point, like going through those like crazy, you know, and my stress level was off the roof. And yeah, maybe, you know, on the outside, I look okay, but my whole health was just declining. So sometimes we don't realize like how many other parts comes to it. For me at this point in my life, it's not even about like looking good, but just feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have to say that it took me like 8 years working in a fitness industry when I can finally say that I think I felt good in my own skin for the first time my life. And it didn't only take the fitness part, but it also took all of that stuff that you cannot see. Like you said, the stress management and sleep and your thoughts, right? You're working on your mindset and all of that stuff.
I think that comes with maturing, right? Like, I mean, as life gets busier and there's different things happen in life, it's like, how are you managing these things? I can tell from me personally, when we had one kid, it seemed stressful. Now that we have two kids and we got a puppy, like, I was like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I had a really hard time with myself because I'm like, well, I have all these other people to take care of now. And for those people who are like, well, my sleep is fine, my stress management is fine, I'd probably challenge you on it. If you're going to bed with the TV on, if you're going to bed with your phone on, your sleep is not good. Like if you're relying on large coffees or caffeine throughout the day, your sleep is not, you're not rested. And I think that's the thing when you're not rested and you're relying on caffeine, which I love caffeine, don't get me wrong. Like caffeine's the greatest drug of all time for sure. But like when you need bigger and bigger coffees or whatever it is, like your mindset will suffer, more anxious, more agitated, potentially. Your nutrition's not going to be as good because you're not well rested. When we're not rested, our eating habits are, we have cravings through the roof, and stress that goes hand in hand. When you're stressed, I don't know about you, Dorota, but when I'm stressed, like there's a reason I don't keep a lot of snacky foods in the house because they're too easy to grab. I won't get a donut every day. I've had my moments, but it's like, yeah, when you can really, and you talked about a time journal, I think, again, that's where I've talked about journaling and just in general, like what is really going on in life? What does a day look like? What do you want a day to look like? A day in the life, like you transformed how you live. You're partying and eating takeout a lot, and now you're living a fitter, healthier lifestyle, but it also helps your mental health. Right. Mm-hmm. For me, the mental health thing was a big piece too, because it's like, well, I can barely take care of myself, let alone my kids.
Yeah.
And I think for women and mothers, especially, like when you do take care of yourself, you are better at taking care of your kids. I think that's something that I think people have a hard time hearing or understanding. What do you feel with people that like still have that like blockage of like, well, I want to work out, but I can't do this stuff.
Yeah, that can be very common too. So I always try to explain to my clients that what I want to help you with is to really approach your whole like fitness in like a deep health And there, when we talk about our deep health, it's not only about your movement. There is also nutrition. There is your mindset. There is your stress management. There is just so many different things that comes into the equation. That's why it might take a little bit longer for you to actually reach your goals and sustain them. And I think just kind of bring that, again, awareness. It's all about like being aware of like and just like noticing and naming and kind of bring that light to certain parts of their life to kind of realize, okay, maybe I need some a little bit of change in, you know, with my stress or something else. But when I kind of explain that to them, it's kind of like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, it's worth exploring. And especially mm-hmm. if there is someone who is like working out consistently, looks like it's looking good and eating good, but still not seeing results. I mean, there is so many other things that can go under the surface that we don't see that maybe it's worth to just exploring and see what's really 100%. Going on.
And that's the thing too, like you said about a healthy and fit life, like health encompasses mental health, right? And if, mm-hmm. if sleep is something that, even if you're working out consistently and your eating is on point, lack of quality sleep will catch up with you, you know, and if you're not managing stress, it could be that something just, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back, right? If you're like, if you're going in your stress for a while, if something big happens, I've seen it happen. Your life will just unravel for a bit. And yeah. And going at and trying to pick up the pieces after is tough, but the stress management and the sleep to me are some of the toughest things to work on because it's mm-hmm. sleep patterns and habits are really ingrained. Like if you're used to going yeah. to bed with your phone or watching TV, like to tell you to stop doing that is a huge barrier. I found
yes.
myself.
In oh my God. It really is.
Right. Like you'll yes. be on Instagram, just scrolling reels and stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's 11:30. Like I got to go some sleep. And then you
yes.
but still like, even if you go to bed at a good time, and I don't know if you found this, I found this personally with my sleep, like my sleep quality was not good. If I was at mm-hmm. my, even if I went to bed at 10, but I was on my phone 15 minutes up to that bedtime, my sleep quality was still, I woke up groggy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely can relate to that. And for me, it actually took me a long, long time to make that deal with myself that I'm not going to look at my phone the very first thing when I wake up.
Nice.
So yeah. So now I wake up pretty early and I work out and I meditate and I don't check any notifications on my phone until like 7 a.m., which again, I wake up at like 4:30. So
7 a.m. is pretty, really?
It's I do because my husband is a trainer as well. And he actually works at the gym still. So he wakes up that early. I was like, you know, I'm going to wake up too. And I'm going to do sure. my meditation and work out and do all of my stuff.
That's awesome.
But I try not to look at my notification until 7 a.m. after I'm done with my time and the things that help me and refill my cup. Because in the beginning, I was like, oh, I have to check if someone maybe cancel a client. It's like, you know, I can check a few hours from now. I don't have to respond right away. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Some people are like, oh, I have to be on top of everything. It's okay if you not gonna be like on call all the time.
Yeah.
And just kind of take that time for yourself instead.
It's true. I mean, yeah. nothing needs attention after 9-10 p.m. or before mm-hmm. 7-8 a.m. Like nothing really does, especially on social media.
Exactly.
Like, that's something I'm still working on with myself because it's a bad habit I've gotten myself into. But it's like, what are you really missing that you can't just check an hour later after you've worked out, after you've had breakfast, after you've actually mm-hmm. woken up for the day? Is like it doesn't exactly. doesn't need to be the first thing you see is your and that's a whole nother topic, like reactivity and waking up to notifications and already starting with social media, you're already starting your day in a reactive mindset where it sets mm-hmm. the tone, right? Like for you, you're setting your day off with like intention, meditate, workout, take time for you. Someone who wakes up with their phone and checks Instagram right away, you're setting your day up with what's everyone else doing and how am I catching up with everything else. It's not mm-hmm. a good place to be for sure.
No, definitely. It makes huge difference when you change that for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. I know you got to run in a couple minutes. Thank you for this. This has been a great chat. I feel like we can keep going, but where can everyone find you online? I'll put everything in the show notes.
So I hang out on Instagram mostly at Dorota Soro. That's what I'm all the time, pretty much. And I'm also on Facebook. I have a Facebook group called Healthy, Happy and Fitter You. Nice. So if you are high achieving women, it's only for women. So if you want for a little support, I do like weekly coaching there inside the group too. So that's what I am.
That's awesome. Hanging out all the day. Yeah, I'll definitely get the links for that in the show notes. Dorota, thanks so much again for taking the time. Always love chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
Bye.